The Swahili word for praise the Lord is Bwana Asifiwe. Asifiwe. Bwana Asifiwe. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us were here last night and the Lord really touched you? Let me see your hand. I want to maybe have two people say something. Who wants to come and say what the Lord did? You know, testimonies are also good, aren't they? Who wants to say something? The Lord deeply touched you. Young people that were out here calling on God. Wants to come? Yes. There's one and another one.
I'll say something.
Yeah, you better. Your name and what the Lord did last night.
My name's Alpha Davies. For a long time, like a couple years and years, I've really struggled with accepting that I'm forgiven and that when God looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees the blood of Christ covering me and I'm holy and I'm not worthy, but Christ is worthy and Christ covers me. And that, God really threw that in my face last night. It was pretty sweet. And it's awesome. It was pretty awesome.
Amen. Okay. Write your names and what the Lord did last night.
Hi, I'm Claire, and yes, so I got deeply touched by the Lord last night. I don't know what happened. For the longest, well, like, I sort of did want to get touched, but then I didn't, in a way, because I was like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. So for the longest time, I was just trying to stand still, you know, like this, and I just felt like the Lord just, like, I don't know, like, I just felt sort of weak. And then, so it wouldn't go away, so I just, like, you know what? I'm just going to call out because I just can't do anything about it. So, yes, so I think some people saw me. I started crying out, cried a lot. And I just realized that I have a real, like, issue with just letting go and, like, because I'm afraid about the future because just, like, about being certain about things and, like, for school and, yeah, just, like, everything pretty much, and it's just hard letting go of that, and it's hard letting go of your life. So I just learned that yesterday. I just have to give everything to the Lord and to trust that when he's given me things, that if they're good and they're for me, he won't take them away. And yeah, so that's what happened.
Hallelujah. I want one of the men to say something. There were some men that were yelling, yes. The Lord was cutting people into pieces last night.
I felt like just the whole time he was speaking, I felt that I needed to be broken before the Lord in order to be used of him. And I felt this pride in me and this something in me that was so not broken and was resistant to the Lord. But then I just wanted to be broken. And so at the end, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to cry out, and I did. And something in me, I felt breaking and began to weep. And just I think a beginning of a process of being broken before the Lord, that he would use me. 26.
Your name, sir?
Austin, sir.
All right. Let's have one man again, and then we are done. I don't know whether you realize what God is doing here. Yes, I'll not shut you out. I'll give you time. Yeah, be brief, and then we get him. You're from England?
Yes, I was born there in England.
Your name's
who? Michael
right,
Whitley.
Go ahead.
Okay.
save the world, what has happened?
Yeah, I guess I did pray out that I was afraid of speaking out, and I have been, and that started as a child. There's some things that I did that let that fear in, and I didn't deal with it. And last night I was freed from that. I just shouted out, and yeah, it was good. So yeah.
Amen. And finally, let's get our brother from South India reporting.
I'm Sam.
Yeah.
South India. My story kind of goes back a little bit to last year's Timothy encounter. And
yeah,
so
but last
guys,
night where you are
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I'll get there. I had given my life last year, and then we'd been given a commitment to practice what God had, the gifts that He'd given us. And I went home saying, I'm going to do this, and then I just shelved it. And there was a book we were asked to read, and I shelved the book. I read it and then shelved it and didn't practice what it was. And last night, it kept coming to me, and it was like, Sam, you're wasting your life. And the book was Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And I kept hearing, don't waste your life, Sam. Don't waste your life because you're wasting it right now. I've given you gifts. You've committed your life to me, but you're walking down the wrong road. And there are things that, I just didn't care. Kind of, I went to church, did my thing. And last night, I was like, I felt that I'd just been unfaithful, and I had to cry out and say, God, I'm sorry, because I said I'd do something, and I shelved it rather than did what I said I would do. So, yeah.
I'm not going to leave you to go. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I sense like God has some destiny in your life. You may not be aware, but there's something God is going to release on your life. And the future is so promising with God. I don't have to be a prophet, but what I'm saying is a reality. And Father, in Jesus' name, pray for my brother. I ask in the name of Jesus that, Father, you'll consume this young life with your fire. Father, do a remarkable work in this life that will turn him around, and the millions that need to hear his voice. Father, he will pick it. I release that anointing upon you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You told me you come from South India. You are here in Canada. You prepared for God to use you. Where He leads you, you will go. There are things that are going to come on your way. Slowly, your life is going to unfold. The fear that has been in you has been broken. And fantastic things are going to be refilled into your spirit, man. And all I can say, go and serve the Lord. I don't know what you feel, you that are parents here, when you realize that our young people are affected deeply by the Lord. I think the future is not lost. The money we have invested in putting conferences like this together is not a waste. It's an investment into the future. I just want to say, I don't know which direction I'm going, but I'm somewhere in Canada, Vancouver. We are still talking about brokenness, and tonight I'm going to talk about your wilderness experience. In the process, when God is preparing us, He allows us to go through our own deserts and wildernesses. Let me just remind you again. When you are broken, you have given the Holy Spirit a complete access and freedom and control over every area of your life, such that you become very pliable in God's hands. You allow Him. He has the complete freedom. Whatever He wants to do with you, you have given Him the freedom. You have allowed Him to touch you. Tonight, I want to begin by turning to the book of Philippians chapter 2 and reading from verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted Him, given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of the things in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How did Jesus come to serve? He came as a servant. He humbled Himself. The theologians say that He emptied Himself. All that was in Him that was godly, He left that in glory. And He came and He took on the form of a human being. He died on the cross. And He rose. He ascended to heaven. And God has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess of the things that are in heaven, things on earth here, and under the earth. He has power and control because He humbled Himself. And the Bible tells us in the Gospels that He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit after spending 40 days in the wilderness, where He was tempted of the devil. But the angels ministered to Him. I want to say tonight, if God is going to use us in the humbling process, and it's a process, we'll have to go through wildernesses. The Sahara Desert in Africa occupies much of North Africa. It's a barren land, it's dry, and there is no life there. In the wilderness, there are serpents, there are scorpions. It's dry and dusty. In the wilderness, at times it gets very cold in the night. During the day, it can get very hot. There are desert storms and desert blizzards that go through there. Nobody wants to go to the wilderness. But the one that we want to serve is spent his time in the wilderness. And the scriptures say that he returned in the power of the Spirit from the wilderness. Tough times do not last, but tough people do. And every problem has an expiry date. If you look at a problem from God's perspective, you discover underlying it is the seed of success. God is speaking to leaders in North America. I've prayed with some of you. Some of you have come and said, George, can you pray with me? I have this challenge and I have that challenge. I don't have answers. I don't know. I can't help you. But I know there's a God who answers prayer. And I know God is taking you through an experience so that you can come back out of your desert more blessed and more anointed. When Bunny was praying, he prayed that the Lord should prune us. In our desert experience, tomorrow I'll be talking on the benefits of brokenness. But I want us to go through the wilderness tonight for a short while. In the desert, there is a pruning process. There's a process where God cuts us, where God works on us. And that's what I saw him do last night. There were very interesting experiences here last night. I saw people shiver, I saw people shake. I saw some of the people go flat. Others were folding themselves. Others, they were under the seats out there. I don't know what they were doing. And then there was a bunch of ladies out there. They were howling, they were praying, they were crying, they were screaming. And others, there was one there was saying, Lord, kill me. I've never heard people pray like that. But last night, some people were praying those kind of prayers here. Lord, kill me. And I went home. After my brother John Isaac said, oh, mate, you have made us pray very dangerous prayers. It is not me. It's the Lord that wanted those dangerous prayers to come out of the people unto the people so that the people can die. And I want to repeat what I said yesterday. God only uses dead men and women. As long as you are alive, you have nothing to do here in North America. Go back to England. Go back to Kenya. Go back to South Africa. Go back to India. If you still have something to do as a human being. But when you are dead, then you have an assignment from God. And I want to speak with passion tonight. My North American brothers and sisters, God only uses dead people. Our wilderness experience is a pruning process. In John 15, verse number 1 and 2, in my Bible, the scriptures say, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is not your pastor. It's not your church. It's not their leadership. It's God. So when I say, oh, I'm a pastor, I'm an evangelist, I am an apostle, you come directly under the vine dresser. And he has got instruments which he takes care of in his farm. Verse number 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruits, it takes away. God has a process of removing the branches that do not bear fruits. It's part of the deal. It's part of the package. When we are in the ministry, we think everything's going to be okay. We want people to pray for us. We want to be anointed. We want people to stand with us. We want people to support us. We want prayers. We want finances. Fine, everything is good. But I want you to know the owner removes certain branches if they don't bear much fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, though that it can bear much more. I'm only fruitful when the Lord comes into my life and removes this, he removes that, so that much fruit can be seen. Can I have some amen from you?
Amen.
I do not know what the Lord is going to do with you. I don't know. I've had my own experiences in Kenya. I thought I was a fantastic preacher. I thought I was doing great work for God until my nation went into the elections. Then hell broke loose. Those first 7, 8, 9 days were horrible. I was locked up in my house. I was so scared of my wife that men were going to come and rape her and my daughter. I thought they were going to kill me and my sons. Not that I don't pray. I prayed. I spoke in tongues. But I discovered sometimes the prayers you pray, and they don't work. Your wilderness experience is a pruning process. I left my house under God, and I went on a radio station and on a television station asking people to stop fighting, only to realize more people saw me on television and radio. They went for me. They wanted me now. Leaving the place where I'd made a broadcast, coming to my house, I went through 13 roadblocks manned by people armed with machetes and arrows that are poisoned. 5 times they wanted to burn my house. Through the assistance of the security forces, I left Eldoret. Came back after 2 days trying to support and help the people that were hurting. Distributing food and clothing and things. It was a wilderness experience. It was tough. I met about 20,000 people just in an open field. There was no toilet. There was no water. Nothing. Do you pray for them? Do you lay hands on them, or what do you do? I didn't know what to do. But I prayed and I encouraged them. I went to this church where 35 people had been burned. And in that church, I found bones of children that had been burned. Outside, I found where people had been cut into pieces. And dogs were still licking human blood. That haunted me. I saw a lot of things. I went on to the next city, Nakuru. And I found thousands of people displaced. I found women in night dresses. That's all they had on their bodies as they were running out. One lady spoke to me and said, I saw four men dead and they were not having their heads on. Their heads had been chopped up. In another place, I visited people that were in a forest that had escaped from danger. And there was a lady that had just given birth moments. When we got there, she was still in that condition with the baby. You talk about challenges, we saw them. I didn't know what the Lord was doing. And I struggled with this and I prayed. People's houses were burned. Cars were burned. Things were destroyed. Lives were destroyed. As I talk to you, there are bodies that have not been buried to date. Our wilderness experiences bring us to a place where we can appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I want you to lift up your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my problems. I will never complain. Lord, I thank you. Give me the grace to go through. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are people here with the diseases that cannot be cured. There are people here that have got inner turmoil, inner struggles. But the Lord says, He's going to prune us so that we can have more fruit. And I just want to be available for that. I want to open up myself to the Lord. In Job chapter 5, verse number 17 to 19, this great man of God says, Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. We need to be happy when the Lord brings discipline and correction into our lives. Now that's why we prayed that prayer, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my problems. I don't know. There are Christians in Zimbabwe who are praying. But they are going through things. There are Christians in Sri Lanka right now. As that country is going through that turmoil. There are Christians who are praying in those troubled spots of the world. There were Christians in Rwanda. Servants of God. They knew God. They called on God. The story of this pastor who came out and said, Yes, there are people here in my house, but they are members of my church. If you want to kill them, let me be the first one to be killed. And they killed him. He paid a very high price. Then they went in, they killed the people that were there, they raped the women, they did what they could, and then they killed them. I don't know what the Lord has called you to serve. I don't know which direction the Lord is going to take you as He breaks you. But Job tells us, For He bruises, but He binds us up. He wounds, but His hands make us whole. Verse number 19. He shall deliver you in six troubles. Yes, in seven, no evil shall touch you. Lord, I thank you. And I bless you. I thank you for my brothers who have gone ahead through the sufferings. Today they are in your presence. And I look forward for that great reunion where we shall share our testimonies of how we overcame. Hallelujah. Our wilderness experience God uses unexpected instruments. There are things we are not ready to know how they come like, but these unexpected instruments will shape us. Psalm 55, verse number 12. God's word says, "For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, walked in the house of God in the throng." You know, God allows close friends sometimes to give us wilderness experiences. People we have served the Lord together with. Men and women we have taken major decisions together. They take the knife and then they hit you from the back, you are done. People you never expected. And may the Lord give us the grace. Can I have some amen? Amen. May the Lord allow us to receive that and accept it. I think the church in North America has a lot to learn from other nations where people have gone through struggles. There's a lot of strength and a lot of encouragement we can draw from people that have had experiences. Obadiah says, it is people that are my close friends that have betrayed me. That is your wilderness experience. Amen. For the time I've served in the work of the Lord, I've been a minister. I discovered when we have internal wars, it's more serious than external. And it's more painful. You used to hug one another, you took bread together, you prayed, you sang, you have conducted funerals, you've been to birthdays, and then suddenly things change. The Lord uses unexpected instruments. Sometimes we are betrayed by very close friends, isn't it? They are the ones that will give stories that are not true. Oh, that man is unfaithful. Oh, that lady is unfaithful. That brother, you can't trust him with finances. They are the ones who become CNN in reporting. You know, breaking news. They are the ones who are the BBC World Service. Breaking, live on the spot, reporting. They are the ones that take the microphone and look into the camera and they report things that are not true. Am I talking to somebody here? I want you to lift up your hand and say, "Lord, I thank you." Come on. "Lord, I thank you for those experiences I've had in the past." Don't get bitter. No. Don't fight. No. Go through the wilderness. Go through your Sahara. Go through the Gobi Desert. Go through the Namibian Desert. Face it. You will come through. You will be better. Hallelujah. Your wilderness experience will bring this kind of things on your life. The assignments that God has called you to accomplish as a pruning process. Every assignment we carry in life, it has its own pruning process. Isaiah 43, verse number 2. God specifically says to us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. I want you to look at those words again. God says we will go through the waters. He doesn't say that we will pray and stop them. They are lion dens we must find ourselves in. There are fires that God will come in and stand with us and deliver us in the midst of those fires. God says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. What did he tell the disciples? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'll be with you to the close of the age. God is with us. His promises are yes, and they are amen. When you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. The rivers of political chaos, the rivers of economic crash, the rivers of cancer, the rivers of incurable diseases, the rivers of this and the other. The Lord says He will be with you. I want to encourage you. There's a number of pastors in Kenya that have lost their wives. One of them is my senior leader. Lost his wife through cancer. Not only that, we lost another pastor. Bernie knows him. A fantastic interpreter, praying intercessor, a fighter, a warrior. He died on a road crash together with his wife. He was just leaving America. Apparently, I was with him in the States. We were together in Nashville, Tennessee. And that morning, I hugged him. I said, I'll see you shortly. I did not know what I was seeing that day. I left him in Nashville, Tennessee. And I went on to Cleveland, Ohio. Only to be told, when I was in Atlanta, Georgia, we have lost Moses and his wife. I was in this hotel and I thought I was dreaming. I thought maybe it was a bad dream. Then I called again. I said, what's going on? They told me, yes, we are actually seated planning for his funeral. And then there is another pastor that lost his wife through cancer. And I've just buried another pastor's wife this February. There are wildernesses we go through. There are wildernesses we go through. I want to encourage you. It's a breaking process. The Lord is making us into something that He wants to use here in North America and around the world. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, these are not messages where you stand up and you clap your hands and you dance and you have some goosebumps. The assignments that God has given you has its own pruning process. And the pruning process is a heavy one. Lord, give me the grace. Lord, give me the strength. Lord, build in me a reservoir of your grace. One of my teachers who taught me the Word of God in the Bible College was a man from Manitoba. He was a Canadian, a fantastic man of God. His name was Gary Foreman. Gary Foreman used to tell us, it doesn't matter where I am and what I'm doing, Jesus is Lord. And when they found out that he had cancer, he came and he told us in a classroom, he said, whether I've got cancer or I don't have it, I know Jesus is Lord. And I remember him telling us, all I need is just another drop of God's grace to carry on in the next day. Recently, I was with a wife in Nairobi. She works with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada offices, regional offices in Nairobi. And I said, Margaret, we first met 1971 when you first came out to Africa with your husband to work as missionaries, and you blessed us so much, and so much has happened. She looked straight into my eyes, said, George, every one of us in our journey with the Lord, there are experiences we love to face, but His grace is sufficient. And I took hold of her hand and we prayed, and she was crying and I was crying. When the husband died, she came back to Canada. And then she said, my heart is in Africa. I want to go back. There's this lady from Germany working in Kenya as a missionary. And she ran into problems. They found out she had cancer. So quickly they took her back to Germany for treatment. She went all through these chemos and all that. But I remember she came back and she called for us and she said, I want to see George. She looked at me and said, George, I don't want to go back to Germany. There is more faith here in Kenya. There is something here to do with faith and hope. And I prayed. And then she looked at me and said, if I die, I'm not going to die in Germany. If I die, I'm going to be buried in Kenya. And that's what happened. She's buried in Eldoret. A wilderness experience. I don't know why I'm saying these things, but I just want to encourage somebody here. This business, I want to follow Jesus, and everything is okay. We'll use the name of Jesus. We'll break the powers of darkness. There are times you break them, they don't go. It's part of the cross we have to carry. This wilderness is so sweet when you walk with Him. When you don't have money, it is the sweetest thing to know that the Lord is with you. An old man who laid hands on me early in my years as a young Christian, he's now 86. Recently, I went to visit him and I went to honor him. I took some gift to him to appreciate. And I said, Papa, I don't need anything from you. I just want to kneel down. I want you to pray for me. He looked at me and said, young man, the greatest thing you can have on earth is Jesus. And he prayed a very short prayer for my life, and he blessed me. Later, I'm called in the hospital, and he was in a state where they did not know whether they were going to make it. But he was still talking. They put him online, and I prayed with him, and the Lord rescued him. Recently, before I came to Canada, strange enough, he called me and said, how are you, George? I said, I'm fine. I'm going to Canada to preach. This is what he told me. Take Jesus worldwide. All of us, we have got experiences to walk in this wilderness. And I thank God that this process has its own challenges. Fruitful branches must be pruned. When you are a fruitful branch, the Lord must prune you. Psalm 91, verse number 15. Psalm 91, verse number 15. The word of God says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That is the psalm I prayed before Kenya started burning. And the Lord rescued us. The Bible says, "He will call me when he's in trouble, and I will answer him." God will answer you. Amen? God will answer you. In the midst of your trouble, he will answer you. And you know, sometimes God answers in very strange ways, isn't it? He may answer so that you go home. It's part of the answer. Huh? He may relocate you. He may give you the grace to face up a situation that normally you will not be able to handle. But it's part of the answer. "And I will deliver him and honor him." That blesses me. Psalm 91, 15. "I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I'll honor him." Father, thank you because of your grace and your mercy and your love that you are able to honor me. And I don't know what it means to be honored of the Lord. To be honored is just to become an instrument to share his word. To declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48, verse number 10. Are we doing all right? Somebody being blessed here? 48 and 10. "Behold, I've refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Ah. No, I don't want that, Lord. Lord, that's not good. Ah, I don't like that. But God says, "Behold, I've refined you, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And the words of Gary Foreman keep ringing back to me again and again. You know how that man faced that cancer rejoicing. And today, he's with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Cancer doesn't have him anymore. Cancer does not afflict him. That story is over. But he is in the presence of Jesus. Ah, Psalm 71, verse number 20. Boy, this thing is so heavy. 71 and 20. "You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again, bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Yes, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." That's a promise from the Lord. That in the midst of that great severe trouble, the Lord shall revive me again. He will revive me again.
He will revive you in your wilderness. He will revive us. He will raise us up again. Because in his long-term plan, eternity past and eternity future, he knows what is good for us. And he has a better plan. I'm only here for a very short time. And I don't want to be shaken by things which are temporal. I want to stand strong. The big thing is to spend time with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. If somebody takes a gun and shoots me, oh man, they make me go home faster. I'm serious. Huh? It's a place I'm headed. But I don't want to go before I accomplish my mission. I must preach to these Canadians and shake them up a little bit. Pass on something to do with this infectious faith. Make them courageous and bold. Turn them into fighters and warriors. Cause them to become kingdom takers. Possess regions for Jesus. Amen. 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 The lion in me is rolling again. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Yes, he will revive you. Have you been going through things? The Lord says he will revive you. He will strengthen you. Have you been embarrassed? Have you gone through some very difficult, trying moments? God says he will revive you. Huh? Yeah. I'm not going under, I'm going over. I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. I'm not going to be defeated, I will be an overcomer. God says he will revive you. I sometimes feel like, shake yourself and say, yes, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive in Jesus. Oh, my North American brother, say amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. I love this scripture. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. God says to us, no temptation has ever overtaken you, except such as is common to men. But God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful.
Amen.
Say it three times more.
God is faithful. God is faithful.
God is faithful. Hallelujah. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation, you also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In every building, there is an escape place. There is some door. There is something. If there was a fire in this building, we'll find an escape route. And in all these pressures, and in all these things that we face, when God is refining us, God is making us instruments that are going to carry his word, he gives us an escape route. When I can't bear it, he knows how to get me out of it. Whether it's in Afghanistan or in Iraq or Indonesia or someplace, there is a way of escape. Do you know, my brother, my sister, if there is no pruning, then judgment will come. If you are not pruned, prepare for judgment. In Luke 20:18, and somebody was sharing this, he said, I pray that the stone doesn't come on me, but I just fall on top of the stone. I don't know.
Ah. The book of Luke 20, verse number 18. The word of God says, whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but whomsoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Lord, don't make me powder. Let me fall on this stone and get broken. You know, like Jacob, God hurt, and he moved around and he said, yes. You know, I wrestled with an angel, and here are the results of meeting and having an encounter with God, you know? Amen? I used to be a very proud Briton, but the Lord injured me. Now I'm able to share around the world. I used to be a very arrogant African, but the Lord broke me. You know how arrogant you are. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know some of the things you carry, huh? Europeans have their own pride. Americans have. The Asians do. The Africans are terrible. Lord, bruneness, we don't want to be crushed. And we are here for a pruning process. Amen? Huh? Amen? Ah, I don't want this noise. I don't want this kind of praying. How long is the service going to take, George? Are the people going to scream? What you are saying, I'm just an American. I want a user-friendly service. Huh? If maybe you're from England, you don't want to show your emotions, the most you can say, If you are a crazy American, you will scream, yes, preach it, brother, yeah! The Canadians are just weighing you, But whatever it is, Lord, do your pruning. Amen. Yes, brother, yeah. Amen, amen. He's American, eh? He's my soul brother number one. The wilderness experience is a season of training and pruning. When you find yourself in these unique situations, it's a season for pruning and training. In Psalm 30, verse number 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And Job 23, verse number 10. This great man of God in Job has something to say to us today. He says in 23 verse number 10, but he knows the way that I'll take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold goes through a process of refining, burning to remove the rubbish, so that the best comes out. When you look at Psalm 106, verse number 13, the
The Lord says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. They lasted exceedingly in the wilderness. And tested the God in the desert. He gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. When they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and covered the faction of Abraham. Yes. When people crave, when people do things, you know, in the wilderness, the Lord allows us to be trained. The Lord allows us to see these people that are rebels. He separates the genuine from the ones that are not genuine. I want to say, in that Psalm 106, look at verse number 24. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his word. And that is terrible, isn't it? When we displease his word. But they complained in their tents. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised up his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. We have discovered it's a season for training and pruning. Accept that. Amen. We are all aware that Jesus was in the wilderness. For him to become Lord and Master, he faced his own desert experience. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 21 and 22, you find that out. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, he was tempted. He was not in the wilderness because of sin, but he had to. And we have to. Joseph was in the wilderness, according to the book of Psalm 105, verse number 17. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. And the word of the Lord tested him. So the chains and the fetters come because the word of the Lord is testing me. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of over his house and the ruler of all his possessions. To bind his princes in his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Joseph had his own experience. And you can learn a lot of things out of that. Job was in the wilderness. In Job 1:1, we discover he was a mighty man. And I think that's where many of us want to be found. That is our website, isn't it? Job 1:1, eh? There was a man in the land of Canada whose name was so-and-so. That man was blameless, upright, the one who feared God and he shunned evil. That's where we want to be. But read on and discover the experiences he went through. He lost everything. Lost his children. Lost all the properties he had. But when you come to Job 42, verse number 10, the story changes. The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him. They ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him, they comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys, and so on and so on. Even the Lord gave him sons, 7 sons and 3 daughters. You know, every wilderness will give us dividends. Hallelujah. The present suffering cannot be compared with the glory that the Lord will give us. Let's have a backbone in our ministries and our stand with the Lord. Amen? Let's face up every challenge that comes. There are some of us that will go to demonic places where literally we will face demonic strongholds, witchcraft, the power of sorcery, the spirits of the age. Dig yourself in. Don't throw away the towel. The wilderness has great returns. And if you go home through the wilderness experience, who cares? To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And like the old past British Prime Minister said, never, never, never give up. Let's leave this conference. We are not going to give up. We are not going to succumb to timidity and fear. Every experience that has been nasty, let's thank God for it. Let's appreciate God for it. There are so many orphans in Africa that are becoming great men and great women. They don't have the parents. Some of them are orphans because of war, disease, and other factors. There are terrible things that happen to people. People go through road accidents and things. And God still remains faithful. You know the children of Mwangi? They came out top in exams. The son had a straight A. And this in the university has done so good. The results for the daughter this year was A. The parents are not there. But somehow God in His provision has taken care of these children. I want to encourage somebody here. Tough times do not last, but the tough people do. And every problem has an expiry date. Hang in. Never, never, never give up. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Let's pray in into these things. Spirit of the living God, we ask of you
to teach us. We are going through a pruning process, Lord. Some of us are so innocent, so naive. We think everything is a bed of roses. And yet, Lord, there is a suffering. For Joseph to become the prime minister, there are irons, there is prison, there is shame, there is embarrassment. For Daniel to read God's people, he has to face the lion's den. Father, the fiery sufferings and the turmoils we face in life. Diseases, lack and wants, rejection. Emotional situations we find ourselves in. We ask for your grace. Holy Spirit, empower us. Empower us. Stretch up your hands to the Lord as we come to the end of the service. Ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your wilderness experience. Hallelujah. Maybe there is no problem you're facing right now, but I think you better ask for the Holy Spirit to help you to face the future. Some of you are so young in your 20s. You are a teenager. Some of you, you are still very young in the things of God. You need these empowerments. Holy Spirit, come upon us. 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 Open our eyes. Open our ears. Give us the insights, O God. Build in us a reservoir. Build in us courage, authority, and the mandates to stand in our generation. We cry out for the rivers of God, the river of God to come upon us. Nakabasundo kubadaka yadarabu, randoro kubaburata rababuribi, yandoraka yadarababura darababuribi, urataka yandada darabababuribi. Open your mouth and begin to worship the Lord. Open your mouth and begin to call out on God. Open your mouth and call out on God. Mandoro kubaburibi, inamamu. Yandoraka ya da 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 buribi. Yendaratu sikiata la buribi. There is a rich anointing. Let that anointing come upon us. Ye manoko bora nada kaya da do rebi. Yandorono no mamaseka ya da riba buribi. Rantarata radaribi. Mikaya do rebi. Pray large prayers. Pray deep prayers. Pray strong prayers. What lies ahead is more demanding and more challenging. May we seek for the baptism that will help us to stand and to fight the battles that are facing us in the days that lie ahead. In Akababura Daraba, Shandoroko Bobobotuku, Baba Yadaraba, Gandora Kayada, Dada Dada Boribi, in Akurababu, Shandora Takababurede, in Akayada, Dada Dada Baba Baba Shantaribi, Indoroko Baba Shantarababu, Shandara Kayata, Dada Baba Boribi. In Jesus' name. And everybody say it, amen. Amen. This is what the Lord is saying to us.
The foundations of a building matter so much. The taller the building, the stronger the foundation should be. And I sense tonight as I bring this meeting to a close, there are people here that God is going to build things in their lives. They need very strong foundations. Foundations in the Word. Foundations in strong faith, prayer. Foundations of a rich anointing. And I'm going to ask you to do something very unusual. Put both of your hands up on your head right now. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, prepare me for the future. Heavenly Father, prepare me for the future. Heavenly Father, prepare me for the future. Right now, send your fire. Send your fire. Send your fire into my life. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself, dear child of God. Pray for yourself, dear man of God. Pray for yourself, dear servant of the Lord. Please do not take it lightly. The future is challenging. Call on the name of the Lord. Kiata kayabo. Na 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 kobobutu kobaboribi. Inana kaya darobo, senda rakaya da kurube, inano robo bobo bobo, shando roko bobo bobo sita kaya ba. There is the fire of God coming on you now. There is a fresh anointing coming on you now. There is a fresh anointing coming on you right now. Not what we had yesterday. Not what we had yesterday. Let the fresh fire of the Lord touch us again. Inanama kaya da 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 bure. Yandoro bo 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 seka ya da 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 ba bure be. Yandoro bo 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 sukubu ya na kaya da bure. Yandoro bo. Yes, there's some praying going on here. Yes, there's some praying going on. Yes, there is something going on here. There is a release of God right into the lives of the people in a fresh way, never like this before. It's all right. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and cry. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Go ahead and cry. It is all right. The only way we can affect America, the only way we can affect the destiny of our nations is by what we have gotten from the presence of the Lord. And I release that fire now. I release that fire now. I release visions and dreams. I release supernatural strength. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We wait on you. Work on us. Help us to walk through our deserts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand? Phil, where's Phil? Can you come up and do a song? I'm going to end with a song. I always like to go out with a song. Stand up. Just keep your hearts open to the Lord.